task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well trained, well equipped, and battle hardened.
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America.
Good night and good luck.
This administration is evil. And that, my friends, is this week's elephant in the room. If I just shut up in 2015, just shut my mouth. That's all I had to do. Oh, I heard from all my friends. Shut up. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. You'll be fine. Play along. You'll be fine. You make a lot of money. Keep making money. Because guys, believe me, being a Republican political consultant is a good gig. It's a good gig. I do miss that one part of it. All those zeros, as I like to say. But I don't miss being called upon to enable somebody who's evil. That's what Pam Bondi did.
Former Prince Andrew, Donald Trump attended various parties with Jeffrey Epstein. I want to know, were there any underage girls at that party or at any party that Trump attended with Jeffrey Epstein?
This is so ridiculous, and that they are trying to deflect from all the great things Donald Trump has done. There is no evidence that Donald Trump has committed a crime. Everyone knows that. This has been the most transparent presidency. He's the one that asked those files.
I got your answer. You
President
said there's no evidence.
Trump asked Chairman, please stop the clock. Stop the clock. The legislation.
Time belongs to the gentleman from California.
Okay. I'm going to put up another document from a witness who called the FBI's National Threat Operations Center, because I believe you just lied under oath. There is ample evidence in the Epstein file.
Don't you ever accuse me of a crime.
I believe you just lied under oath, and this is all on videotape. You said there's no evidence of a crime. I'm showing you, here is a witness statement who called into the FBI's Threat Operations Center. He drove Donald Trump around in a limo. He overheard what Donald Trump said to Jeffrey on his cell phone. He was so angry, he was going to stop a limo and hurt Donald Trump. And he met a girl who said she was raped by Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein. She later had her head blown off, and officers at the scene said that could not have been suicide. No one at the Department of Justice interviewed this witness. You need to interview this witness immediately. Epstein should rot in hell, so should the men who patronize this operation. And as we say here today, there are over 1,000 sex trafficking victims, and you have not held a single man accountable. Shame on you. If you had any decency, you would resign right after this hearing concludes.
The gentleman has expired.
Evil is like radiation. It's persistent. It spreads. Kills you off one bit at a time. And I keep going back to this performance she put on. And I look at the tactical part of it, the big dramatic, like, what about you and this illegal immigrant BS, right?
So, Ms. Bondi, will you commit right here to immediately providing those two documents in unredacted form to members of Congress? Not a complicated question.
Well, I guess it is for you, because you have a law degree and those are privileged.
Okay. They're not privileged, but we will discuss that later. Will you commit to publicly providing the unredacted version of this so that the American people can understand the extent of Donald Trump's lies about his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein?
You're about as good of a lawyer today as you were when you tried to impeach President Trump in 2016. Have you apologized for that in 2019?
Will you unredact this?
You were lead counsel on that. Privileged.
I'm asking you, will you unredact this?
Privileged.
Privileged, of course.
Here we go. Here's the photograph. This is why he wanted to repeat everything that had been said previously on Epstein. This is his state, New York. You probably don't even know who this is. Waheed Mohammed from Afghanistan.
Yes, because I'm no longer a prosecutor.
Convicted of assault. Wow, he represents New York. Wow. Yet he doesn't care about the illegal aliens convicted of crimes. Assault and homicide. No longer a prosecutor, so he doesn't care about his constituents. Here we go. Arson, El Salvador, Miguel Palacios. Fermin Flores Ramalez, Mexico, rape.
Let's talk about the 70% of immigrants who are detained without a criminal conviction or arrest.
Stop the clock. Stop the clock.
And I think we've lost track at the really important moment, the good versus evil decision in that room. And every day that she's had these Epstein papers, these millions and millions of documents that she is actively engaged in covering up. And she had Todd Boyanch and Cash Patel and a whole army of people at the DOJ are actively involved in covering up. She couldn't turn to look at them. Because she is in league with evil. Those victims can never be whole. They can never have justice. Because that justice will bring the story too close to Donald Trump. That justice will bring the story too close to powerful men who are friends of Donald Trump. That story will bring that justice would bring the story way too close to the emails we're not seeing, to the testimony we haven't seen, to the redactions that have been made so thoroughly and so completely to hide his involvement. She couldn't turn and look at those victims because that moment would have shown you what a monster she really is. Because if you can't feel sympathy, if you can't feel a sense of injustice, if you don't have the moral sense to be able to look at the women who Jeffrey Epstein raped and trafficked and say, this was wrong and I will help you. I will use the power of my high office to seek justice for you or for the families of the ones who have died, like Virginia Giuffre, then you're in league with evil. And I know, again, I know we don't like to use that word. I know people think that they're above that word. They want a psychological assessment of people that shortcuts that word or that doesn't look at that word because it has moral or religious connotations they're not comfortable with. But it's evil. It's real. Evil exists in the world. If you can't see it, then watch that testimony again.
To the survivors in the room, if you are willing, please stand. And if you are willing, please raise your hands if you have still not been able to meet with this Department of Justice. Please know for the record that every single survivor has raised their hand. Attorney General Bondi, you apologized to the survivors in your opening statement for what they went through at the hands of Jeffrey Epstein. Will you turn to them now and apologize for what your Department of Justice has put them through with the absolutely unacceptable release of the Epstein files and their information?
Congresswoman, you sat before Merrick Garland sat in this chair twice.
Attorney General
twice.
Bondi.
No, can I'm gonna finish my answer?
No, I'm going to reclaim my time because I asked you
a specific question to answer,
which is, will you turn to the survivors? This is not about anybody that came before you. It is about you taking responsibility for your Department of Justice and the harm that it has done to the survivors who are standing right behind you and are waiting for you to turn to them and apologize for what your Department of Justice has
done. Members get to ask the questions. The witness gets to answer in the way they want to answer it. Attorney General,
that's
respond.
Not accurate, Mr. Chairman.
Because she doesn't like the answer.
Time.
So,
Mr. Chairman,
why
I have asked
didn't she
question?
Ask Merrick Garland this? Twice.
I'm reclaiming my time,
my
and when I
will
reclaim
continue
my time,
to answer.
It
Mr. Chairman,
my
the gentlelady has reclaimed
her time.
I'm not
going to get in the gutter for her theatrics.
The time belongs to the gentlelady. The gentlelady has 17 seconds.
Thank you. You're not going to answer this question, so let me just
Chairman,
say this.
I'll direct it to
what
you.
What a massive
cover-up.
No,
I'm answering a question,
Chairman. Will you restore her time? The
I'm
witness is interrupting.
I'm not in the gutter with this woman.
Stop the
She's
time.
She's doing theatrics.
And let me have my
gentlelady, time. The gentlelady from Washington controls the time. The gentlelady has 17 seconds. You can proceed with your final
you.
17 seconds.
What a massive cover-up this has been and continues to be. Donald Trump made the release of the Epstein files the center of his political campaign because he thought it would benefit him. Then you got into office, Attorney General, claimed to have a client list, only
Regular
to
order.
Then say that there was no list. Your deputy,
time,
Todd Blanche,
the,
met alone
time
with Ghislaine Maxwell
the time
and transferred her to a minimum security prison. And now you continue
time,
the cover-up,
the
and I
has
wish
expired.
That you would turn around to the survivors who are standing right behind you and on a human level
Chairman,
apologize
Chairman, now recognizes the chairman.
On what you have done.
Time of the gentlelady expired.
Back.
The gentlelady, you have no time to yield back. We appreciate the thought.
She sat there and yawned and looked at her nails and rolled her eyes. When people were begging her to give those victims of Jeffrey Epstein one tiny scintilla of hope for justice, she was asked over and over again, what are you doing to prosecute the men on this list? What are you doing to investigate the men on this list? What are you doing to bring justice? And every time she did a little dance, she played a little game. She insulted the members of Congress. She threw insults and distractions because she knows that the man she works for, that the man who holds her career in his hand at every moment, is evil. Because we don't want to say Donald Trump is evil. I know you don't want to say it. A lot of you, even those of you who are critics of Donald Trump, you don't want to say the word evil. But he is an evil man, leading an evil movement, leading an evil government. Now, look, I am not a paragon of religious virtue either, but I do believe in evil, and I do believe in good, and I believe that Pam Bondi and Todd Blanche, the DOJ, are essentially now the kind of Barad-dûr of this government. It's Mordor from Lord of the Rings. It is an institution that has enormous power. They're holding millions of these documents. And there are millions more we're not seeing, by the way, of Ghislaine Maxwell's emails. Seen many Ghislaine Maxwell emails in this list? No, you haven't. I have not seen a whole lot of them. In her case alone, there were 5 million documents in discovery. Where are those? Where are those? They're being hidden.
Trump administration is under scrutiny over the Justice Department's handling of the release of files related to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Victor Jacobo is in the newsroom for us now. Victor, what's missing from these documents is really what's causing this controversy, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Chris. The Department of Justice today released additional files in the case of convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. At the same time, at least 15 newly released files disappeared from the DOJ's website. It is not clear as to why that happened. Now, one of the missing photos showed an open drawer with a photo of President Trump, Epstein, and Ghislaine Maxwell. Other missing files included photos of a room with what appeared to be a massage table and nude photos and paintings. Among the newly released Jeffrey Epstein documents, handwritten notes from grand jury testimony, flight logs, and message pads. The thousands of records released since Friday are largely redacted, over 500 pages, fully blacked out.
We need to have oversight hearings. We will send letters demanding more transparency.
The Justice Department did not meet Friday's deadline to release all files from its investigations into the late convicted sex offender, as required by law, saying the delay is in part to ensure victims' information is protected. Republican Congressman Thomas Massie, who co-sponsored the legislation, posted on social media the Justice Department's release, quote, grossly fails to comply with both the spirit and the letter of the law.
They're not required to release a list of what they're not releasing, and that's where the problems arise.
Marina Lacerda is an Epstein survivor.
Who are we trying to protect? Are we protecting the survivors? Or are we protecting these elite men that need to be put out there?
This photo of a missed call message from Donald Trump was also released today. Otherwise, the president's name is noticeably absent from the government's releases. Several images of former President Bill Clinton are included. He has denied any wrongdoing and through a spokesperson said of the White House, quote, "This is about shielding themselves from what comes next or from what they'll try and hide forever." Now, just within the last few hours, the Department of Justice posted on social media that they said photos and other materials will continue to be reviewed and redacted consistent with the law in an abundance of caution as they receive additional information.
The 3 million documents in the Epstein discovery that are still being hidden by the Department of Justice and illegally redacted by the Department of Justice are constitute much more evidence of wrongdoing, of crimes, of rape, of pedophilia, of child sex trafficking. But Pam Bondi doesn't care about those issues. Donald Trump doesn't care about those issues. Todd Blanche doesn't care about those issues. They care about Donald Trump. That's all they care about. The Department of Injustice is in league and service to evil. The side of good, and I feel like I'm taking crazy pills when I say this, but the side of good protects the weak. The side of good addresses the victims. The side of good rights the wrong.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Behind me, I have three documents from the DOJ production that are emblematic of the massive failure of the DOJ to comply with the Epstein Files Transparency Act. To my right is an email that was sent by the victim's lawyers to the DOJ. It was a list of names not to redact, a list of names not to release. What did the DOJ do with this email? They released this email in the document production. Literally the worst thing you could do to the survivors, you did. And they're getting phone calls. A lot of these people didn't want to be known. And we know you touched the document because you redacted one name and you redacted the lawyer's name, but you left the survivor's name there. The next document I want to show you, and that was in the title, the victim's survivor's names, all right? The title of this one is Child Sex Trafficking, Co-Conspirators, Fully Redacted. And by the way, I'm going to unredact them here. Les Wexner is in this. Now, your assistant, your deputy attorney general said, oh, well, he appears hundreds of times in the files. But he doesn't appear in this file until I forced you to release it, where he's listed as a co-conspirator, not to tax evasion, but to child sex trafficking, not to prostitution, not to money laundering, child sex trafficking. And then finally, what we have here, is the third exhibit that I have is emblematic of the FD-302 release. These are the documents that we need, that you're holding on to and over-redacting because they have the names of the men who are implicated. How do we know? Because the survivors gave testimony to the FBI, and it's in there. And what happens when you go to the portal at the DOJ to look at what's behind this redaction? Another redaction. So we can't even see them. And then there's some of these files you've pulled down from the website that we will never see because we can't search the redactions. So I have several questions for you. Who's responsible? Are you able to track who in your organization made this massive failure and released the victims' names? Are you able to track who it was that obscured Les Wexner's name as a co-conspirator in an FBI document? Do you have that kind of accountability?
I believe Wexner's name was listed more than 4,000 times.
I already told you that. Where he's listed as a co-conspirator.
Can I finish my answer? Come on, let me finish my answer. We corrected that within 40 minutes. He was already, you're acting like everybody's trying to cover up Wexner's name.
Reclaiming my time.
I'm going to answer this question.
Reclaiming my time.
Mr. Chairman. This isn't how this works.
Can I have my time
back? Mr. Chairman.
The gentlelady can give her answer. The time belongs to the gentleman from
Kentucky. All right, I'm reclaiming my time.
Can I give my answer?
So yes. I'm going to put the language of the bill up on the screen.
Chairman, may I give another question on that? This is a political joke, and I need to give my answer on that.
We'll let the Attorney General respond, and then the gentleman can move to
Chairman,
his next question.
It's my time.
Within 40
Chairman.
Minutes, you asked me a question.
You
within 40 minutes, Wexner's name was added back.
Within 40 minutes of me catching you red-handed.
None of us are perfect people. None of us have the magical power to say, everything I do is always right all the time. Certainly, I can't say that myself. But I want to remind you that good and evil exist. You can see it. You know evil when you see it. And what Pam Bondi was engaged in the other day, on Wednesday, was an overt declaration that she is evil. The fact that she wouldn't even turn to look at the victims of Jeffrey Epstein, who have suffered and suffered and suffered and suffered, whose lives were broken by a man who raped them when they were children, is an astounding, an unbelievable expression of moral failing. And yes, I do believe that Pam Bondi, I don't think she's psychotic. I don't think she's sociopathic. I don't think she's brainwashed or gaslit by Donald Trump. That would make it better. I don't think Todd Blanche is sociopathic or psychotic or narcissistic. It may be some of those things. But if that was the real excuse, that would make it better. That would be an explicable embrace of something. That would be something where you go, okay, yeah, she's got a psychological problem. He's got a psychological problem. Cash Patel has a psychological problem. And it would, because that would let you excuse it in some ways. It could be treatable, malleable, addressable. But that's not what's wrong with them. What's wrong with them is that they are in league and service to evil, to an evil man with evil intent, running an evil government. Again, I know you don't want to say that word. I know people want to psychologically look away when you say the words good and evil, because it gets theocracy into it. It gets religion into it. It gets moral questions of faith and values and belief into it. But I believe they're evil. Their acts and their deeds and their words and their behavior is evil.
I didn't see one tweet when Joe Biden was in office about Bill Clinton. Didn't ask Merrick Garland anything about Epstein, not once when he was
weak sauce.
And also, I want the record to reflect that, you know, with this anti-Semitic culture right now, she voted against a resolution condemning.
Oh,
he is Jewish. I just want to be clear.
Do you want to go there, Attorney General? Are you serious talking about anti-Semitism to a woman who lost her grandfather in the Holocaust?
I grew up as a Soviet studies guy. Came through, you know, that was what I focused on in college, was like philosophy and Soviet oppression. And in that sort of broad vein of history, I read a lot about the evils of communism and the evils of the Soviet Union. They were evil. They were fucking evil. And the evils of now and the evils of Hitler. And although it doesn't exist anymore, my version of conservatism was in part driven by a caution about how powerful authoritarian systems enabled evil men. And every alarm bell in my heart and my gut and my head, it goes off every day watching these people and watching us continue to normalize what they do. To believe it's just political strategy, or that it's just media trolling, or that it's just gaslighting. This is the tip of an iceberg with the victims of Jeffrey Epstein. The things they're trying to do in this country, the barriers they're trying to crash through in this country, the hatreds they're trying to stoke in this country, they range from police shooting civilians in the streets, which I gotta say, that's in the evil category, y'all, to the constant churn of racial hatred.
The White House defended, then removed, a racist depiction of the Obamas from President Trump's social media. It was posted shortly before midnight, and it was met with anger from Democrats and some members of the president's own party.
The president's post, which borrowed imagery from this video, was deleted after backlash on both sides of the aisle. The video on Truth Social, focusing on debunked claims about the 2020 election, included a racist animation of former President Barack Obama and former First Lady Michelle Obama, their heads superimposed on the bodies of apes.
To the endless, endless cruelty being deployed against working American people.
Top of this, there's also all these costs related to tariffs. The president has argued that other countries are going to pay the brunt of the tariffs, but recent research finds the exact opposite. This is from the Tax Foundation. They found that the cost of the president's tariffs per household was $1,000 last year, and they're seeing an increase this year to $1,300. Again, that's per household. And Brianna, the president argues that his tariffs are going to cause a manufacturing jobs boom, but that has not happened.
Whether it's tariffs or the empty promises of Doge checks and tariff checks for people who are struggling, whose heads are below water, to the idea that an entire government and an entire party must be dedicated to the arrogance of one evil man. It's everywhere. In everything they do. You just saw it with utter, painful, crystalline, perfect clarity with Pam Bondi this week. You see it with Todd Blanche every day. You see it with all of them. They're more concerned. They've treated Ghislaine Maxwell, who was essentially Jeffrey Epstein's madam, who was directly the one who manipulated and trafficked many of these young women.
We're so grateful to be joined by Jeffrey Epstein survivor Annie Farmer. Annie, thank you so much for taking the time to come back on the show.
I think many of us have been poring over the files ourselves and are finding places where there are redactions that seem to be problematic and are communicating those to them. You know, I know in one example, there appears to be a reference to my sister Maria Farmer's 1996 report. And there's a few lines that signal that that's what it's about. And then there's a lot of blocked text. So what is the explanation for that? You know, one of the central questions we have is why was nothing done with that report in 1996 to prevent the abuse of so many? So I think that's a great example of the kind of thing we want more information about that we should be able to see.
Ghislaine Maxwell, as you know, pleaded the fifth today at a congressional hearing again and again. Take a listen to just one of those instances.
Ms. Maxwell, have you ever coerced, directed, or otherwise instructed any young woman or girl to provide sexual favors to Mr. Epstein or any other individual?
I invoke my Fifth Amendment right to silence.
As her lawyer continues to press for clemency in exchange for her testimony, something President Trump has continually declined to rule out, how does this all make you feel?
It's honestly very disturbing to see these images of her and have her be looked at as someone who could potentially be providing any kind of information in this case. I mean, she has refused over and over to cooperate with the investigation. She's refused to have, she doesn't have any empathy or has not expressed any empathy or remorse to her victims. So I think it's highly problematic that anyone would consider negotiating with a serious criminal like this. And I think it would just really be indicative of guilt in some way, because we know that she is not a credible source of information.
And you say to her victims. As you know, she has repeatedly said that she had no involvement directly with actually abuse.
Yeah, I can speak from, you know, very personally to the fact that that's not true. You know, she was abusive towards me. And there's so many other crimes that she committed that she wasn't even prosecuted for. You know, there were four of us that testified at her trial, but I have now met so many women who say it was because of Ghislaine Maxwell that I ended up being abused, sometimes for years, and that she was at times involved in that abuse herself. So she was a very central figure in this system, and her efforts to minimize her role have not been effective. You know, we've seen in the files that have been released already several places where the emails she sent are contradictory to things she said on the record before about knowing Virginia Roberts Giuffre, for example, about the photo of her with Andrew Windsor. And so I think the more information we have, the more clear it is that she is not a credible source of information.
They've treated her with dignity and courtesy and respect and care. They've moved her to Club Fed, where she has a fucking puppy, where she gets to be on the internet, where she can walk off campus during the day. They treated Ghislaine Maxwell like she's one of them. They treated Ghislaine Maxwell like she's a friend, an ally, a person of value and worth. And they treat Ghislaine Maxwell that way, even though they know she's evil. Because she is a mirror to their own evil. They are protecting Donald Trump. This cover-up is a determined effort to protect Donald Trump. These men that raped these girls, that were involved in these abuses, that this government now has no interest in pursuing, that they shrugged off, that they dusted off their hands and said, nope, we're done. It is the apotheosis of evil. It is evil at a level that no American president and his administration have ever engaged in. Not even close. I don't want to hear any bullshit about Nixon or WMDs or anything else. Okay? There's nothing even remotely resembling what this administration has done to these women, and the hall pass, the get out of jail free card they have given to the men who abused them. Donald Trump is a bad man. He's an evil man. Don't excuse evil by saying, oh, he's got dementia. He's narcissistic. Yeah, he's all those things. He's all those things. But first and foremost, this administration is evil. And that, my friends, is this week's elephant in the room. Folks, thanks so much for listening today. This has been a rough week for folks who care about other human beings. And I want to say the Giuffre family has a GoFundMe up right now because they still need to have attorneys to try to deal with getting the Justice Department to address what has happened, not only to Virginia herself, but to the other victims of Jeffrey Epstein. And they have a GoFundMe up. We'll put it up on the screen here. I have donated to it. We encourage you to do so as well, because unfortunately, there's only so far that pro bono work is going to take them in fighting this case. I encourage you to help them. I encourage you to also listen to the other victims of Jeffrey Epstein. We've interviewed a number of them on the show. And it is a difficult, painful, wrenching subject. You don't ever want to think about it happening to someone in your family, with a daughter or a wife or a sister or a family member. But the women he victimized were wives and daughters and sisters. Eventually, it comes home. And again, folks, evil is like radioactivity. It spreads and it spreads and it spreads if you don't contain it. The only way to contain it is to bring justice to the men who caused these crimes, the men who Jeffrey Epstein circulated with, Jeffrey Epstein's friends and allies and business partners and collaborators, and fellow rapists. And some of the men on that list aren't, but a lot of them are. And we should find out as a country and as a people the truth about them. Because otherwise, we're letting that big evil elephant in the room dominate the entire conversation. Thanks, everybody.
The Lincoln Project Podcast is a Lincoln Project production. Executive produced by Whitney Hayes, Ben Howe, and Joey Wartner-Cheney. Edited by Riley Main. Hey, folks, if you want to support the Lincoln Project's work against Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and this MAGA craziness, go to action.lincolnproject.us/helplp. If you'd like to get in touch or have suggestions for a guest or a show topic, or just want to say hi, our email is podcast@lincolnproject.us. For our MAGA friends, please, no more nudes. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again next time.
Good night, and good luck.